I don't know about you guys, but our time of worship this morning was, as the kids, of course, you know, kids, their terminology changes weekly. And here's the deal. It wasn't because of what I did. It wasn't because of what Hal and the team did. It wasn't because of what you did. It was because of what the Holy Spirit was doing and what we were doing in response to that. I told you, actually, before I do that, I just we've got some things going on in our, you know, some of our folks in our church, and I know there are a lot more than I'm probably aware of right now, but we need to take a few moments. Rose Crook, she begins her treatments tomorrow. I'm correct on that, I believe. Okay. Let me tell you, she was a trooper. She went to C3 Conference with us this week. And she was a trooper and did fantastic. And I tell you what, every time I see her, it lifts my spirits just seeing her. Sherry Holman, her father is battling. I shared with you, with his permission, by the way, that he is... they have found cancer in him in several different places, and he's just really, really, really having a really bad struggle right now. Sherry left church this morning because they called her and said, you need to come up here. So I want to pray for Rose. I want to pray for Sherry, and Jim is her father's name, Jim Bates. Yes, he's in the hospital. Yeah, over in Conway. Also, just became aware tonight that our high school principal at Shepherd, Jimmy Meekins, is having some health issues. And so requests have been made to lift him up. So can we just spend a moment? I know there are others. Can we just have a moment? Lord, Father, we come before you right now. Lord, you are the creator. Father, you are the recreator. And so, Father, what we're asking is in these people's lives, in their struggles, in their hard times right now, Father, that you would do what only you can do. That you would touch these people. That you would lift them up, raise them up, strengthen them, empower them, Father. Lord, you've created this body in a miraculous way that's designed to fight off diseases. And Lord, there are some diseases that are hard to fight off right now. But Father, not for you. And so, Lord, we're asking you to do what only you can do, Father. Minister to them where they are through the power of your Holy Spirit. Use the friends and family that are around them right now and going to be around them in the coming days. And Father, we look forward. We look forward to looking back on this time saying we prayed for that. And look how God worked in that. So, Lord, that's our prayer. Father, it's not all throughout the New Testament, particularly when Jesus healed people, Lord. Those people still, none of them are still alive today. Father, they all ended up dying at some point. But, Lord, the healing is never for the sake of the healing. It's always for a greater purpose. It's always to accomplish your glory. And so, Father, we pray that your glory would be known, that your glory would be proclaimed, you would receive all the credit and honor. And Father, we in all circumstances, we would continue to praise you and lift you up. Father, move like only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I told you this morning that I was going to give you what I learned from the Super Bowl. Y'all ready? He who ends the game with the most points wins. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. If you turn back in your Bibles to where we were this morning, and we're just going to back up a little bit, 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to read a large section of Scripture tonight. 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to go all the way through verse 18, where we kind of picked up this morning. And if you don't have a copy of the Word of God, there should be one in the chair underneath in front of you. And if there's not one there, and you still don't have one and you need one, you let me know at the end of service, and I will put one in your hands for you to take and have and to hold till death do you part. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush and he sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush, and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." How many of you wake up to somebody telling you that in the morning? "Get up and eat." Not me. "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. What a life, right? The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And when the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "In case you didn't hear me the first time, Lord," that was commentary, that was me, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down all your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too." I think he had that rehearsed, memorized. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphath, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." Now, there's a lot in this, and there's a lot of sermon material right there. We see things one way. "I'm the only one left." And the Lord reminds him at the end, "Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed." "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Twice he asked him, "What are you doing here?" Elijah could have replied, "You told me to come here." What happened to this Elijah, this mighty, powerful man of God? Just before this, he was calling down fire from heaven, killing how many? 900? 700? How many? 400? A bunch. Killed a whole bunch of prophets and prayed for... Remember, this is the guy that prayed for the drought to come and then for the drought to end. And I mean, this was a... He just came off the mountain with this great victory. and he got word that this girl was after him. Come on. He tucked tail and ran. Here's the first thing I learned from the Super Bowl. Number one, the Atlanta Falcons showed me something. For those of you that do not know, they ended up losing the game. And here's how it went down. The Atlanta Falcons scored all of their points in the first half. The New England Patriots scored all of their points in the second half. It just so happened that the Patriots scored more points overall than the Falcons, so the Patriots won. But here's what the Atlanta Falcons taught me. It's not good to start out well and then not finish. It's not good to start out well and not finish, and that's kind of what I see with Elijah here. Now, still, this dude is the one that gets caught up in a chariot of fire and goes up to heaven, right? And you might think, woo, what a way to go. I just can't help but wonder, what more could he have been doing alongside of Elisha had he remained faithful? Had he finished strong? Had he not tucked tail and ran from a girl? Okay? What might could have been? Throughout the Bible, we find a lot of other people who started out like a house of fire and then fizzled. Samson comes to mind. He started out, this dude was stout, strong, big old guy. Did whatever he wanted to do. He played games with his strength, But he let the. There's the girl again. I tell you. He had all this strength and great potential and did great things, but he didn't. He fizzled. He fizzled. Ended up bringing the house down. On top of his head and everybody else too, but. Still, he still had a lot left in him. He fizzled. So, somebody tell me somebody else who started out strong in Scripture, then just kind of faded away. Or Jonah. Jonah's a great one. He was one of the prophets and went off. And what's the last we hear of Jonah? Sitting under a little shelter he built, because remember the tree that God provided for him, the worm ate. So he's sitting under a tree and he's mad. He's mad at God because he saved the Ninevites. Right? Somebody else. Give me one more name. Somebody else who started out strong and then just kind of fizzled off. Anybody? Solomon. Now Solomon, the first king of Israel. Okay? Now, I'm sorry. Well, Saul could fit that bill too. But Solomon had, he started off strong. It wasn't because of his doing, because of what David did. And it was handed to him. And what did Solomon do? Solomon did whatever Solomon wanted to do, okay, which is not what the Lord wanted Solomon to do with it. You're right. So it's not good to start out strong and not finish well. Here's what the Patriots taught me. The Patriots showed me that even if you get a late start, at least start and then finish strong. And then finish strong. Now, I've told you many, many times that you can't go back. You can't go back and you don't get redos. A lot of times in life, you certainly can't go back and erase a mistake and redo it and do it better. Okay? So, no matter where you are, how many of you have ever made a mistake? Okay. It's done. It's done. You know, I've told you that one of the greatest things that I ever learned from one of my coworkers here several years back was he taught me, well, what's done is done. Here we are. All I have control of is where do I go from here? This week we're having bus trouble up at the C3 conference. A lot of bus trouble, and it was struggling. And my son was helping me, bless his heart. And he and I were messing with this bus and driving all over Dallas trying to find parts. And I was frustrated, and I was expressing my frustrated to him, to my son. And he looked over at me and said, Dad, it is what it is. We can't do anything about it, except where do we go from here? I was like, dude, don't be throwing my own words back at me. But it's what needed. I needed to hear that. Some of us have things that we may wish we had done differently. But the point is this. You don't get to go back and play the first half over. But it's time for the second half. Let's play ball. Let's play ball. No matter where you are, what you've done, what has been done to you, where do you go from here is what counts. You got to start sometime. Haskell was at the Super Bowl party. He was after I gave a little sermon type things, devotion at halftime, and we had food and all that. After that, I mean, Haskell stayed for that part at least. He looked up at me and said, Brother, I got a recliner calling my name. He said, like the old song says, turn out the lights, the party's over. I got to ask you, did you stay up for the end of the game? Okay. Was not near what you expected, was it? No, Haskell gave up on him. He said, man, this is done. I had done the same thing, but I said, you know, it's my TV box. I can't go home. I have to wait till everybody else leaves. At least start and then finish strong. We learned some of this from Paul's life. You remember who Paul was? Who did he used to be? He used to be Saul. What kind of? Now, if you're going to look at his life, Saul and Paul, same guy, but different guys. It's like the first and second half. It's like the first half, he was the Patriots. Couldn't do anything right. Although he thought he was doing everything wrong. He was the one that was persecuting the Christians, having them put in jail, having them beat, possibly even had his hands in having them killed. But then when the Lord got a hold of him on that road to Damascus, boom. At halftime, he came out a different person. And he went on fire and finished strong. Right? I want to read you some of his words that he penned in Philippians. It's just this one verse, in Philippians 3, verse 14. It's a very familiar verse, and it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This term, press on. I press on to the goal. The term in Greek actually means to in a race, when the runner is running, and he sees the finish line, and he's right there in the lead, and he just gives it more and more and more and more, and leans that chest forward. He finishes strong. That's what that means. I press on. I give it all I've got all the way through the end. Our track coach taught us, you got to run through the finish line. That's what Paul was doing. He was saying, I press on. I finish strong. When you think of somebody else who may have had a rough start, but finished strong, I think of Moses. And of course, these are these, you know, big names in the Bible. Moses, he was a basket case. You know, because when he was born, his mama put him in a basket and put him in the river. Didn't have a great start. Okay, but the hand of the Lord was on him. But for 40 years, what did he accomplish? He ate good in the Pharaoh's house. That was about the top of his accomplishments. And then something terrible happened. He ended up killing an Egyptian soldier guard and took off running out in the desert. For the next 40 years, what did he do? He hid. He tended sheep. Until the burning bush caught his attention. And he said, that is strange. I must go see this thing. Walked over there and had an encounter with Yahweh. And he finished strong. He led the whole nation of Israelite out of Egypt into the desert. It wasn't without struggle. It wasn't without trials. But he finished strong. He stayed true. This is the guy that got to go up on the mountain and come and visit with God, and he would come down and his face would just be glowing because he'd been in the presence of God Almighty. That's strong. I would love to have that experience. When I think of somebody else, a little less known, not as great stature as people like Moses and Paul. There's a little lady named Rahab. Anybody know who Rahab was? she was excuse me. She was she lived in this town called Jericho. She was a prostitute. Okay, not at this time fulfilling her God ordained calling. Let's put it that way. Okay, you might look at her and say, "Well, she didn't start off very well." But what did she do? She came right alongside. She helped the Israelites, and they spared her. And she's mentioned in the New Testament somewhere. Do y'all, anybody have an idea where she's mentioned in the New Testament? In the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think she started off weak and finished strong. Anybody else come to mind? Somebody that started off weak and finished strong. Do what? Oh, James? James did not believe. He didn't believe that his half-brother was the Messiah. He thought he was a good guy and all that, but it wasn't until the cross and the tomb that James really said, wow. And this is the James that penned the book of James and became a great disciple. There are many of these people throughout Scripture to give us great examples. So here's my 2 points again. Don't start off strong and then fizzle. Better than that is to start wherever you are, even if you didn't have a good start, and finish strong. There's even a better way. There's even a better way. It's called the complete game. That's when you're so dominant. You come out strong, swinging out of the gate, and you finish just as strong as what you started or stronger, and you have left a legacy and a testimony to your life. You start strong and you finish strong. You fight through adversity. It doesn't mean that trouble's not going to come. Heard this quote this week that was very profound. It said this, and I've changed it a little bit because I couldn't remember it exactly. The proof of the presence of God is not the absence of trouble, but the ability to stand strong in the midst of trouble. Starting strong and finishing strong, starting off weak, finishing strong, doesn't mean that you're not going to have struggles. Matter of fact, I remind us frequently, Jesus himself said, in this life you will have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world, which is a great, great promise to us. Doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles. But he also promised he'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He sent his Spirit to be with us, to walk us. What did the psalmist say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. He says, I'm going to have enemies. And I'm going to eat good in the middle of them. In baseball, there's a thing. I know we're talking about Super Bowl, but it's over, it's done, so where do we go from here? We're going to move on to baseball. There's a thing called the perfect game. The perfect game, and I'm going to mess it up, but it's where you have the pitcher has no hits. He struck everybody out, or they've hit a fly ball or a ground out and got thrown out at the base. Nobody has gotten on base the entire game. And the pitcher started the game And the same pitcher finished the game after 9 innings. It's called the perfect game. There's only a handful of pitchers that have ever accomplished that feat. They start strong. You got to start strong. You got to finish strong. And you got to do well in the middle too. A couple things I want to read to you here that I found. In 1945, there was an emergence of three great evangelists. Billy Graham, Chuck Templeton, and Bron Clifford. All three of them packed auditoriums to capacity. All three of them did. Chuck Templeton was called the most gifted and talented young man in America today for preaching. Clifford preached to an auditorium of thousands in Miami, Florida. Graham, Templeton, and Clifford were shooting stars for Christ in 1945. I mean, they were like, their names were household names. Everybody knew of these three guys. But yet, has anybody here today really heard anything of Templeton or Clifford? What happened? They both failed to finish strong. Just 5 years later, in about 1950, Templeton left the ministry to pursue a career as a radio and TV commentator and newspaper columnist. He said he no longer was a believer in Christ in the Orthodox sense of the term, whatever that means. What about Clifford? By 1945, he had lost his family, lost his ministry, lost his health, and then ended up losing his life because of alcohol and financial irresponsibility. More important than how you start is how you finish. Whatever you've been dealt, whatever situation you find yourself in, like this morning, you're not stuck in the routine. You don't have to be stuck in the routine. You can step out of it and you can finish strong. Whatever you've been handed, whatever you've been dealt by life, whatever those terms are, I don't believe in all that, but still, you know, I believe sometimes we're a victim of other circumstances, but sometimes we're a victim of our own makings, right? But even in that, you're not stuck there. Satan wants to convince you that you are and there's no hope. But Jesus Christ is the hope giver. He is the life changer. And He's the one that comes in and says, it doesn't have to be like that anymore. You can finish strong. The other thing I found I wanted to bring to you says a guy named Steve Farrar. I don't know who he is, but he said this. You may be thinking it's too late for you to finish strong. You've made some mistakes, some big mistakes. You may think you could never finish strong because you've made some very serious choices that have caused you to lose credibility with your family, friends, and even your associates. He says, listen, my friend, it's never too late to begin doing what's right. As long as you're breathing, it's never too late to begin to confess your sin. Thanks to the grace of God, you've got time to make up a lot of ground. Just because you've fallen down doesn't mean you can't get up and finish strong. So no matter where you are, no matter what comes our way, is your circumstances your God? Is that what controls you? Or is there a greater God that is control, that can control the circumstances? Gives us the strength and the power through the Holy Spirit to control our attitude in those circumstances. What did Paul say? I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance is. Whether I'm being whipped, whether I'm eating good, whether I'm in jail, whether they're about to execute me, I'm content. I'm finishing strong. Because it's more than about me. It's all about Jesus. Folks, if we get that attitude, if we get that and wrap our heads around that and get that attitude, and just take wherever we are, saddle up, put on the armor, and head full force into whatever's ahead. Finish strong. Now we look at Paul and we say, man, Paul, did Paul finish strong? What happened to him? Oh, he got killed for it. When you look at all of the disciples, save John, what happened to them? Did they finish strong? What happened to them? They all got killed for their faith. Okay? Doesn't mean you're going to live to be 150 years old. But those guys, when we think about them and read about them, we think, man, these are the hallmarks of our faith. These are the pillars of our faith. These guys finished strong. Whatever their circumstances were that caused the finish, they did it well. Oh, may that be said of you. I read, and I didn't print it out because it was not that great. It was an obituary of a man in Galveston that had died. Did you read it, David? The family wrote his obituary in the paper, and it said, well, he was proof that evil really does die. And they went on to say, you know, the world's a better place without him. It's just terrible, terrible, terrible. I don't know why I bring that up except to say this. Obviously, it's not a person who finished strong. Probably a person that never started strong. Probably a person who never knew the saving power of Jesus Christ. What will be said of you? What will be said of me? I want it to be said. He was strong in his faith all the way through the end. All the way. Finished. Strong. I hope that can be put on my tombstone. He finished strong. What a man. What a way to go. When I think of people that finished strong, I think of people like Stephen. You know who Stephen was? Stephen was the first martyr. Okay? The first martyr. And I preached a sermon, one of my very first sermons that I ever preached. The Standing of Jesus. One of the pastor, the old guy, Jadon George or whoever it was at the conference, he talked about that. He said, man, Stephen was, they were stoning him. He looked up and he saw Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. And I said, mm-mm, look it up, brother. He says, I look up and I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Because what I get from that is Jesus, you know, seated in the seat of honor. And, of course, he sees what's going on with Stephen, right? And Jesus goes, he's seated there. He's seated with the Father. I just got this picture. He's seated there with the Father. He's watching. And he goes, yes. In my mind, Jesus stood in Stephen's honor. When I see my Lord and my Savior face to face, I want him to go, good job. Good job. Because I finished strong. What better reward could there ever be? Folks, that can be us. Oh, it can be us. You're not stuck. You're not trapped. Wherever we are, let's come out of the locker room, fired up, ready to go, and let's get after it. Father, help us. Lord, help us. Help us to finish strong. Lord, there are people in this room that have started strong. Lord, keep them strong. May we be so in love with you. May we be so devoted to you and so aware of your presence in our life that we would finish strong all the way through the end. And Lord, the truth is, we don't have any clue when that might be. Whether it's tomorrow or 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years from now, should you tarry your coming. And Lord, if you want to come right on back, that is okay with us. But should you tarry your coming, Lord, you've given us what we need to finish strong. Father, may we commit to you with our whole life and receive the power that you give to do well. Lord, we thank you for the examples you give us through Scripture that we can look to. Lord, we can even look at the other examples and say, I don't want to do it that way. But Father, help us. Help us to love you so dearly that we just give you all of everything we've got. Lord, those guys, when they were coming off of that football field, they were exhausted. They were beat. Oh, but they were so happy because they won. And it was worth it. Lord, you offer something that is so much greater than a Super Bowl ring. Oh, and it is so worth it. Help us, Lord, to finish strong in Jesus' name.